This is Ron Bailey. At the Ron Bailey School of Broadcast, men and women who are serious about on-the-air work are training for jobs in radio and television. We'd like to help you. Call us.
We can help to take you there. Feel much better when you're on the air.
Ah, there we go. Ron Bailey said I was one of the best students he ever had.
I believe it.
Hey, Sherry, this what is the name of the show? I know we was one name, they changed it, came up with another one again.
I've been
formerly
told
the Tom and Curley Show. I think right. You stick with that.
Yeah, there you go. Right,
formerly known as.
There's always the weirdest thing about TV and radio. When the other show ends, the two people have been taken into like some sort of memory bank thing where they say, don't ever talk about that other show
That's
again.
That's right, exactly. See, I think we should just call it Tom's Gone.
Tom's Gone
That's
Show.
It. There you go.
Yeah. Diving in. No, we're still diving in. Am I still
Why
the
not?
Diving work? Am I allowed?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm allowed to do anymore.
Yeah, they didn't get rid of it.
They did.
It's just going to be an empty pool if you don't dive in every day. No one else uses it.
You have a scum of form on the top
right.
of the thing. Stop using my picture. Is it still Sean? I'm sorry. I got a job at WCIA in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, and Mr. Roberts, who had the job before me, had been there for like 190 years. He died in his car out in the parking lot after like 11 o'clock at night. He finished with it. Everybody knew him. No one knew. He's just Mr. Roberts, right? Went to all the schools and everything. He'd baptized kids and married people. And they're like, whatever you do, don't mention him. I said, he's been here for like 90 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just don't bring his name up. So it was the stupidest thing because then all of a sudden I'm the guy and people are like, well, you have no respect for Mr. Roberts? You won't even mention Mr. Roberts? But I was just like, I can't say anything to Mr. Roberts, right?
Yeah, you wonder about that. I guess it's forward momentum. People want to move ahead and
well,
not
look how
well.
Quickly you want to just throw the dirt on top of Tom, kick him to the ground.
He's not even cold yet.
You don't even know. You're like, Tom who? You and Mr. Roberts. Yeah, see, you're old school like that. You just believe in that kind of thing of just forgetting about people. All right, let's get Sully in here. By the way, Sully's pie that he brought in yesterday in the show, he said goodbye to Tom. Tom, things Sully doesn't realize, props don't work on radio, but that seemed to be lost on him.
It's still out there.
He's like, look what I'm bringing in. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't help. Play Sully's music to get him in here. Would you please do that so get him in here? All right, Sherry. Sully knew the only way that he could get on the show, at the top of the show, was talking about a topic that I cared about. He's like, what does Curly care about? Oh, that's right.
And this is something you feel attached to because you love aviation.
No.
You love cars?
I love the fact that this is counter to... Sully, you there? Sherry jumped all over you.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. I'm here.
Obvious.
I'm just happy
if
to be here.
You don't say anything. She just throws.
Well,
right,
this is a new show that I heard. I didn't even know I was still the cherry pie
come
guy.
Come on, no,
I've got
no.
a lot going on here.
No.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, like just forget everything. Hey, Sully, the reason tell Sherry why I like the idea of flying cars
because it's not light rail.
Yes,
that's
because
it.
Because he wants to do it.
Yeah,
his dad used to talk about it all the time
no,
when they would
no.
turn off the VHS tapes. Oh, wait, but that was from yesterday's show.
No, the thing was is that I hate light rail. I think
that's
light
one, yeah.
And by the way, light rail, they expect in the next 5 years, because of the changes in people working from home, right now light rail is down, what, 60%? Public transportation
something
like that. Down 60%? Why
yes.
will light rail ever come back again? So we're spending billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, to quote Carl Sagan, on something that is obsolete to begin with. So anything that's more advanced than trains, I'm all for, because as Jacob will say, what, Jacob, what do I want to do?
Drop the bags of urine.
Down on top of the train.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, now I understand.
I was just listening to Sound Transit, their annual ridership weekly report. They've seen a huge increase in ridership. Huh. And that goes along with the opening of 3 new stations in the Northgate. So like, of course that was going to happen.
Yes.
But now, overall, it's still well down overall because of the way things have changed, certainly. But yes, flying cars. There are lots of good reasons. But yeah, I hope you guys saw the story at mynorthwest.com. I think this is a fascinating thing. I'm an aviation guy. I cover Boeing for the station. And mm-hmm. whenever I see things like this, I'm always interested because I like to know how feasible this is,
yes.
and if this is really kind of the future. So what did you guys say? I'm assuming you read there. What are your thoughts? What do you think of what I put out there?
Well, the first thing that I wondered about was the shape of the thing. The picture looks like it's completely vertical, right? So it has to take off and land vertically. And so do you have to be standing in the flying car? And is there room for a passenger? That's what struck me.
Whoa. Slow down with the questions.
No, that's fine. I can answer them because to set the table here, John and Sherry, basically what this
Where's Tom? Go ahead. I'm kidding.
This is a flying vehicle that can take off and land vertically. That's one of the, because there are, everyone realizes if I could fly to work, great, that would be great. But where am I going to land? Where am I going to take off from? Where am I going to park my plane? If with this project called Ziva, which is started by an engineer from Washington State who down in Tacoma is where the office is, Steve Tibbetts, he's like, listen, I can take off and land this thing inside of like a 30-foot area. I could land this in my backyard. I can land this in the cul-de-sac. So that was the nexus. It's like, okay, personal flight, we got to take off vertical. We got to be able to land vertical because there just isn't place. But yeah, in his particular mock-up, Sherry, the person gets into it from behind, gets into the capsule. You take off vertically, and then about 20, 30 seconds in, it gains enough momentum that it rotates horizontally, and then you're flying horizontally like Superman. You fly horizontally like that, but you're laying down. Yes, you're prone. You're laying down in this. You're not sitting. There's no passenger. You are the passenger. There's not going to be a pilot because this is all going to be autonomous.
Okay, here's the problem. They keep teasing us with this thing, and they've been teasing us with it since I was like in third grade. The flying car is just around the corner. Imagine this, the big car in everyone's garage. You know, and I was like, okay, here comes the flying car. And then every year, in fact, you go to the Museum of what's the name of that Museum of Flight, right?
Yeah.
There's a car down
there.
There's a green car. There's a red car down there with the wings on it. And I'm just staring at it. I'm like, go, lift up. Go, take me home. They always say about this thing, but it never goes anywhere. And people aren't going to want to lay down.
That does seem weird. You know, that seems like unsafe.
Yeah,
like who wants to lay down and drive?
I like to eat French onion soup while I drive. I don't want to have
you
laying
guys
down.
Gotta remember,
yes.
You're not. No one's going to be driving. No one's going to be piloting. This is going to be an autonomous
I don't care,
situation.
Sully. No one wants to be lying down.
But who's going to navigate it? I mean, what are you doing? You're just being like transported like in a pod.
Sully, this is such a blatant. You're just saying this to get on the air.
No, I'm not. This is what, because there are more than 120 companies across the world throwing billions of dollars into personal aviation vehicles like this. Most of them are not like Ziva, this project from Tacoma. Most are focusing on like two or three, four or five people, bigger ones that are like flying taxis.
Are they all laying down too on top of one another?
No, these would be sitting. These would be sitting.
On top of each other?
No, they're sitting looking just like George Jetson, sitting there like a regular car.
All right.
But these would most likely be autonomous. And what's happening is, for this to happen, obviously, we need the autonomy of this craft to be able to work. We need to control the airspace. Because let's face it, nobody in this town can drive,
right?
And we have a hard enough time bumping into each other. I sure as heck don't want the guys I'm on the freeway with in the sky above me flying a plane.
Right.
So for this to happen over the next 20 years or so, which is the timeline they're working on, is autonomy is going to come into fruition.
Yeah.
And the FAA is also already working on an intelligent air traffic control system where, Sherry, it would work like this. Say you flew into Seattle. You want to get to the station from the airport. You dial up the app on your phone. The thing lands. You get in it. It takes off, and it drops you at the nearest landing pad, nearest the station, and you walk the rest of the way. That's what they believe this is going to eventually turn into, whether it's the Ziva, a personal one, or more of a flying taxi that might look more like a helicopter drone, something like that. But that's what they believe is where this is going. These are all electric vehicles, and that's what the people are banking on. And so, as I said, that people wouldn't be spending billions of dollars of this on the year if they didn't really think this was going to be happening. And so
finally,
I believe it's happening.
Dropped. These scenes were filmed by Pathé News cameraman William Beek, and you're about to see the pictures he got when the ship exploded. Those aboard leaping for life from a flaming inferno. The actual crash of the Hindenburg. An airship destroyed in less than half a minute.
Sully?
Yes? Oh, yeah.
How far away are we from this
Well, the Ziva, Steve Tibbetts, who runs this personal one, thinks 2040. He thinks 2040 is realistic.
I'll be dead.
For getting autonomous therapy.
Totally be dead.
Bye. That's still faster than light rail to Everett.
That's true. Thank you, Sully.
Sure.
Keeping everything in perspective of how long I'm living for. What year are we? 2021? It's 20 more years? Yeah. I won't care at that point. I won't be able to generate enough urine to drop down on a train. It'll take me, my prostate would be so big. I'm like, back up and go around. I missed the train.
Either that or you'll be dropping it everywhere all the time. So, out of the diaper.
Yes.
You're not willing to use other people's urine? It has to be yours?
It'll be mine. Okay. It doesn't mean as much if I throw Sherry's down. So funny. You know, that was my big thing. It's so weird. We're doing the show. I don't remember Tom. And he, I would always bring that up. And I brought it up once, and he really kind of, right. And then as I kind of said it more and more, he kind of let me get away with it. And I just noticed that he wouldn't have that head snapping reaction when I talk about flying over top and dropping stuff down on top of him. And then he just sort of accepted it. And I remember one time he goes, I know you want to just drop your urine down on trains, but then it became part of the conversation. So, it's nice to know that that's accepted, and the Sully realizes as well by 2040. So, not enough time to get into the abortion issue. That is a gigantic story. So, this is this. I don't know why this stuff keeps coming around. Never the pandemic thing, the lockdown. I don't call it the pandemic, but the lockdown didn't cause me to have all the same sort of problems other people are having. And these stories keep dripping out. And I'm surprised you put this one in there, Sherry. What to wear now? The pandemic closet. Purge is underway.
Well, you and I had a conversation the other day, John, about clothes and about the idea that there's this thing called fast fashion now, right? Where fast fashion is kind of inexpensive clothing. It's not high quality clothing, and that we only wear it a few times and then we toss it and we don't feel badly about it. This article is somewhat about that, but it's also about the fact that now that the pandemic or the shutdown, as you like to call it, created this new casual atmosphere where we're working from home, we're wearing our pajamas, we're wearing sweatpants, that all of these things in our closets are kind of irrelevant. Oh. So you might have suits and, you know, high heel shoes and all these other things. And there's this big effort by a lot of people to get rid of all of that stuff and not only redefine what they wear, but redefine how they present to the world.
Wait, get rid of nice clothes?
Yeah, because they don't think they're coming back. They don't think that it's ever going to get back to the point where we're all in offices wearing really nice clothes and dressed up and all of that. That it's shifted somewhat.
Do you, when you see people, let's start from the bottom. You see people standing in front of you at the supermarket with pajamas on. Just walk me through a series of emotions that you have when you see a grown-up in pajamas.
Well, I mean, if they're not throwing urine, I think that they're probably.
Right.
I think that they're probably comfortable.
No. Your comfort is my discomfort.
Okay.
Okay. So if I see somebody standing there in pajamas, I mean, the series of just wild snap judgments I make about them. Mm-hmm. Like my comfort, I just like cozy stuff. So they get in the car and they drove somewhere in their pajamas. Don't wear your pajamas in public.
Well, don't you
think... First of all, I think they're filthy, just to begin with.
Okay.
I just assume pajamas are dirtier than a pair of overalls.
But if you're only sleeping in them, the overalls you're working in. So I think that the pajamas could potentially be cleaner. But then again, if you're wearing them all day long and then you're going shopping in them, they could accumulate some kind of filth.
The person went to bed at 9 o'clock at night, right? They go to sleep in their pajamas. Now they wake up. Let's give them 12. Let's give them 8 hours of sleep. No, they're lazy sacks. They're wearing pajamas. So let's give them 12 hours of sleep. Then now it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They've been wearing those things for like 22 hours, walking around, breaking wind and everything. And now there they are in front of you buying something like Hot Pockets or whatever. And they've got these pajamas on.
Well, is it possible that they put on clean pajamas to
go
to the store?
No, maybe it's all about comfort.
No, but maybe you're confusing because a lot of clothes look like pajamas now, and that's sort of the trend, right? I mean, people are wearing sweatpants and yoga pants and all these different kinds of pajama-like clothing. It's called loungewear. Are you sure you're not thinking it's loungewear?
Isn't it amazing the people you give somebody they buy themselves a sweatshirt, right? And then they say stuff like, I just love it. Just like when it's just kind of like lounge around the house in it.
Yeah.
Like the rest of their life is so busy.
So I take it you will not be doing the closet purge.
I got this shirt. Guess how much I bought this shirt for? Take a guess. Jacob?
You told me this. It was
$4.
It was under $10.
Someone else's clothes. That's my new thing. This is all from Value Village.
Nice.
And I hope they wash them before you buy them.
I hope you washed them before you wore it.
They all smell the same, don't you?
Why is that?
I don't know.
It's horrible smell.
Chemical they spray on everything.
Oh, okay. I'll take that.
Did you?
I didn't wash it before.
You didn't wash it before you?
I can't. I don't have a washer dryer. I got to go to the depressing laundromat.
What's more depressing, wearing a dirty shirt that someone else has worn repeatedly or going to the laundromat? I'm going to pick A.
Tracy Taylor?
I think it's gross, personally. Wash your clothes before you wear them. My kid got scabies one time from that. Just putting that out there.
Wait a minute. Would you buy like secondhand clothes from someplace?
Goodwill.
Goodwill. Okay. Well, that's a nice thing for Goodwill. Thank you.
Whatever. I'm just saying. You wash your clothes.
Oh, you're shopping in the scabies department. Yes, that's your problem. All right, Tracy. How about how's traffic looking? Here we go. Q Mortgage 1-888-7-7-8 KIEL. That's Keel Mortgage, the best in the business. Anything having to do with the mortgage, it's Keel Mortgage. All right. Big announcement. Here we go. You ever been through one of these before? Sherry? Your microphone on. Be a broadcaster. Can't hear her. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is time, Sherry, for the show's big announcement.
Okay. Tom's gone.
No.
Different one?
Another one.
Okay.
The Seahawks code word.
Ooh, that is big.
And the code word is...
Did you want me to say it?
Take the music out.
The code word is pass. P-A-S-S.
To enter and to win 4 tickets to see the Seahawks and the curvature of the earth. As they take on the Chicago Bears, December 26th, remember, the code word expires at 11:59 p.m. You want to get in the last minute there. Tonight, you'll have another chance to enter tomorrow at 8 a.m. Seattle's Morning News. Of course, details and rules are at MyNorthWest.com. And again, the secret code word is...
The secret code word is PASS, and you go to MyNorthWest.com/win to enter.
There we go. We find by having Jacob do it cold and raw, as they say, really adds sort of a sense of element of humor.
Right.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah.
All righty. The San Jose approves the license plate reader because of all the smash and grab. You've probably been watching the smash and grab, which is really interesting because now that Twitter has come up with this new rule, which is you cannot take video of people, private people, doing things without getting their consent. So all the video you see of everybody running in, not just the closed circuit camera stuff, but people have been taking video of people coming out of the store with a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
I guess you wouldn't be able to put them up on Twitter either. So as the smash and grab goes on, they're going to do this thing with this license plates reader to try to catch these guys. Here's KPIX. Hold on.
In the wake of a particularly rough month for malls and stores in San Jose, where organized criminals ransack businesses, the city is ready to double down on these license plate readers.
And how they can be allocated for the purchase of license plate readers.
The city is looking at spending $250,000 to lease license plate readers, storage, and software to enable SJPD to better deter and make arrests in armed smash mob burglaries and robberies, auto thefts, and drive-by shootings. Mayor Liccardo says the plate readers could make the crooks easier to spot.
Where culprits are attempting to evade the license plate readers, all the better, because that's a very clear warning when we see folks covering their license plates that those are drivers that should be pulled over. We have been using them here in the city of San Jose.
This is dumb.
It is.
Do you see
dumb.
The problem?
There's lots of problems.
Because I'm not the brightest person, right?
I wouldn't say
Come
that.
On, right?
No, you're very bright.
Trick question.
Okay.
You go to do the smash and grab.
Yeah.
Someone's in charge. Put Lenny in charge of covering up the license plate. You run in, you smash and grab, you drive away, you pull the thing off. And the little reader, doesn't follow you, right? It's just, where's the reader? On a telephone pole or something?
Yeah, it's actually mounted like on a building or something like that. And they sort of admitted that this really hasn't been all that effective. But what they're saying is that when you see someone trying to avoid this, like they're covering their license plate,
yes,
that's a reason to pull them over.
But no, but...
Hey, they've been used successfully.
Yeah, but they're going to... You go in, you smash. right? You grab everything.
Yeah.
You got the thing. You put Steve or Doug or whatever in charge of the license plate. Cover it up.
Right.
That's your only job.
Okay.
Then you get in the car and you drive away. You drive away and then you pull over the side of the road and Doug goes out and takes the thing off the back of the plate. And then you take off without him.
Unless you get caught running away and there's still something on the license plate and you forget it.
All right, let's
but
see
that you're, you know.
Successfully here. The question is, are they being used enough? And I think we can certainly use them more.
SJPD has used them on several patrol units in the past several years. The Electronic Frontier Foundation conducted research and found in San Jose, 1.6 million plates were scanned and stored in 2020. Of those, about 1,500 led to a successful match. That's a 0.089% success rate.
You know, you hear that they're going to be spending $250,000 on license plate readers. I'm like, it's not a great use of money.
Dave Moss at the EFF led that research and says the plate reader databases have been abused across the country and even led to expensive lawsuits when incorrect matches led to wrongful arrests. Moss does not think they'll work to stop these smash mob style thieves.
And I think when you have clever criminals like that, license plate readers are not going to deter them. I think that if any of your viewers think about license plate readers for more than 5 minutes, they will think about a way that you can get around.
It took me a lot less than that, didn't it, huh?
Yeah, really. You were
those
like,
are TV,
like
30
seconds.
Radio. It's much smarter.
Because license plate readers are very good at capturing information on innocent people, but maybe not so good at capturing information on people who are willing to break the law.
Okay. You know, can I just be my father for one moment?
Yeah, I'd like you to do that.
If my dad were still alive, it would sound something like this as far as my father was concerned. He would do this. He would say, hey, you know what you need to do? Just shoot one of those guys. Now, it was the mayor of Chicago that said the same thing. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Shoot the protesters. You remember that? Yeah. This was in the 1960s. Mayor of Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah, Daley. Said, shoot them. Shoot a few of them, and that'll teach him a lesson, and that'll stop all the problems, okay? And, you know, I could say, because my father's not here anymore, my dad's that old school thing where you do shoot people, but the idea is that, like, to stop the looters that are doing it, they would just, and I'm sure there's people out there go, yeah, shoot one or two of them, and you realize then the word would get out, because you can run into those stores and just take whatever you want.
But I think that the cops are completely outnumbered, right? I mean, we're talking 50 people sometimes are doing this. So how are they going to only shoot one person?
I wouldn't have a cop do it.
Oh, well.
Somebody then, like my dad.
Okay. So you want just a random person that's standing by to go ahead and shoot somebody.
Shoot one or two of them.
And then you're hoping the psychology is the next group says, boy, there could be a random person standing by to shoot one of us
as well. There you go.
Okay. Okay.
Again, this is not me. I'm speaking like an 85, 86-year-old man that's passed away a couple years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Steve Ducey wanted to know about the smash and grab.
Does the president still think that crime is up because of the pandemic?
I think many people have conveyed that, and also root causes of crime in communities is guns and gun violence.
Root cause of crime is guns. Okay.
We've seen that statistically around the country.
So Vermont has one of the highest gun per capita ratios.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lowest crime rates. And so does Wyoming. And so does Montana. So guns per capita, guns are not the reason that the crime is there. Because if it was guns alone, Vermont would be just this place. You couldn't go anywhere without somebody shooting and killing you.
Correct.
To your point, so when a huge group of criminals organizes themselves and they want to go loot a store, a CVS, a Nordstrom, a Home Depot, until the shelves are clean, you think that's because of the pandemic?
I think a root cause in a lot of communities is the pandemic, yes.
Okay.
So it's the root causes which now, Jen? Is it the guns or is it the pandemic? Because you just identified two different things as being the root cause.
Well, there's two different roots that are going. It's a very complicated root structure.
Okay.
If you're those stores, you just feel horrible.
Oh, I can't imagine. And you're just sort of waiting for it to happen in your neck of the woods, right? I mean, this is happening now a lot in California, but it's going to start to, you know, move everywhere.
I saw this guy, these two people running out of Home Depot, just piling all this stuff into their car, right?
Yeah.
So the guy's standing there watching, and he's got a cart. And he, I guess he just figures, well, I got to do something. So as the woman, one car takes off, the second car is there. Tracy Taylor, we're talking about cars, so it's okay, we can have this. And as the second car goes to take off, the guy decides, well, I'm gonna do something. So he pushes his cart in front of the car. The car hits the cart, and the cart flies up and hits the guy.
Oh, right? No good deed.
No good deed. And then he shoots the person. All right. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic for us. All righty. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Come on in, everybody. The 1-888-973-5476. The name of the show is the John and Sherry Show. Well, that sucks. Who came up with that, Jacob?
No, it's the John Curley and Sherry Show.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Sherry didn't know the last name for her. She's like, Cher.
Yeah.
Well, it's already so close. So we should have just gone with John Curley.
Just bring Sully back in here to fill the last 8 minutes. All right. Let's see. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Do love to hear from you. Come on in. This is one of these things where I have known this for a long time, that Seattle is not the number one coffee city.
Well, it should be. I mean, you knew this. Why? Because you just didn't...
No,
would
I remember.
Agree with it or
no,
what?
I remember looking it up for some reason. I didn't want to say something on the air that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you have no history of the fact that I say a lot of things on the air that aren't true. So that's why you didn't get the joke. Jacob over there got it. All right. So I think it's, is it Minneapolis?
Minneapolis?
Isn't that number one? It's like someplace in Minnesota I thought was the number one. Or Wisconsin. It's one of these mid-state things.
No, Portland and San Francisco.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't say anything that isn't true. Yes. So there's a couple of different websites that did these surveys about coffee, right?
Yes.
And so everybody thinks Seattle's going to be number one all the time. Well, a couple of them came out and said, not so fast. This one, Wallet Hub, said Portland and San Francisco were the number two. And then there's another one called Lazy Trips. That one, Seattle didn't even make the list at all.
Yeah.
But most of the time, Seattle does come at the top of the, you know, top of the food chain, but a couple of them, no. And so this is an article in the Seattle Times about whether or not it really matters anymore. You know, Seattle is so identified with coffee.
Yeah.
And they take so much pride in being the number one coffee city. Does it psychologically matter that now it's moved down a couple of notches in rank?
Any of these things matter. Whenever we go to do like list stories, yeah, you know, top 10 things that people are going to do for the New Year's. I'm like, no, we're not doing top 5 movies. No, I hate all those list things. The weird thing is, why does a city care if they're number one about something? Do you drink more coffee because you're like, hey, have a second cup. We got to stay at number one.
Right. Well, the psychologist that was interviewed said that it's sort of like having a sports team, right? Uh-huh. Where you want to take pride in something. I know that when I lived in Baltimore, Baltimore made the top of every bad list there was. It was the STD capital. It was the murder capital.
Yeah, hey, take that condom off. What are you doing? We've fallen down to number three.
And there was some sort of bizarre pride in being the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
And so everybody would be like, yay, we made another list. Worst place to live. Yay.
Right. Yeah.
So I think this is just an example of people wanting to take pride in a thing that, you know, Seattle's been known for so many years.
I know, but once you get the reputations, no one's going to be coming along and saying, oh, you know, it's not Seattle, it's Portland.
Well,
it's the biggest cliche. You tell people who live in Seattle, go back home, Bay, Philadelphia. Where are you living now? Seattle. Hey, you got your coffee there? Like, oh my God. Yeah, we got coffee. Yeah, you guys drink a lot of coffee there, don't you? You're like, yeah, drink coffee. Yeah, you like, hey, go have some coffee. So it's like coffee, rain,
yeah,
and Pearl Jam.
Right.
You're like, uh-huh. Hey, we just Sleepless in Seattle. Tom Hanks out there? You're like, oh my God. And I remember one time I went back home and somebody said, dude, you guys are like near like Eskimos and stuff, right? Like stuff was changed that word to the other S word. I'm like, Eskimos? Yeah, like do people live in igloos out there? It's like, what? Understanding of like where Seattle was?
Sure.
You ever get that?
Well, I think people have a really bad sense of geography anyway.
Yeah.
I think most people don't really know where places are. They kind of know it's in the West, but they don't know surrounding states. Like,
yeah,
they don't know what states border other states,
right,
usually. So that doesn't surprise me.
Right. So once they get past the Mississippi, they assume there's people living in igloos somewhere out there,
right? Because igloos are so common in the Northwest.
Oh, my God. I mean, It was so dumb. I didn't even want to say it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave him with that and let him believe people live in igloos.
Well, he probably went on to say, hey, I met a guy the other day. He's lived in Seattle. He was telling me about the igloos. Like, he probably said you confirmed it by not telling him that's not true.
So when you're living in an igloo, when you spill some of that coffee, does it melt the wall? Yep. And then Pearl Jam comes over and fixes it. Oh, my God. Tracy Taylor, I have to say, I was so impressed by how you were able to keep it together yesterday.
Oh, my God. I couldn't. Are you kidding? My mother-in-law was like, I don't know how you did. I'm like, I sobbed the rest of the night, you guys. I'm not joking. I sobbed the rest of the night.
Oh.
It was so touching, John. It was so perfect. It was just, if I was there, I'd hug you.